Good Monday morning. Welcome to the Sundial Writer's Corner. I'm Dory Nutt, one of the producers of this program, along with, for these many years, Brett Tannehill. Brett is retiring at the end of this year, and I know everyone joins me in thanking him for his technical assistance, his advice, and his tireless promotion of storytelling here in Alabama. In this last episode of 2024, Sundial contributor Patricia Salmon offers a family story of the season. It's entitled Winter Fruit.
It was 1969, and we were newly come to this country. 20 years earlier, my father, a World War II veteran, had been hired by a company that sent him to its Canadian field office. Though Dad married a Canadian, he retained his American citizenship and registered all 10 of us kids as dual citizens. When that same company relocated him to its New York City office, we piled into the station wagon, aged 5 years to 16 years, and headed south, coming to our other home for the first time. A few months later, still acquainting ourselves with our new country, we decided to drive to Florida for winter holidays. We braced ourselves for a riotous inversion of the familiar. Instead of riding toboggans down snowy slopes, we would be tumbling in warm surf at Christmas time. The drive took 2 days. Dad took Route 1 because he liked its antiquity. The original road builders, he said, had been large animals, mammoths and mastodons, migrating along the fall line between the Piedmont and coastal plain. Saber-toothed tigers following behind, moccasined feet had smoothed those tracks. Later, the half-moon clip-clop of horses' hooves joined the footprints. Along came wagon wheels, and then tin lizzies plating the pathway. We read the signs aloud, the Peach State, Sea Rock City. Halfway through Georgia, we entered a town and pronounced its name, Lyon. But the radio DJ corrected us a moment later, Lions, making me think of open grasslands and peril. Did that DJ know about us deep inside his broadcasting range? The discrepancy in pronunciation made us freshly aware of how distant Quebec was. I had the feeling of having wandered too far and being defenseless. We pulled into a gas station. The owner hoisted himself out of the defeated bulges of a porch sofa. Before Dad could call out, "Fill it up, please," the old man's face was filling up Dad's window. "Where are you all from?" For just an instant, none of us answered because we really weren't sure anymore. Then came a medley of conflicting answers. "Canada. Well, I'm American and I work in New York City. But we live in Connecticut. We're from Toronto and also Quebec." The soft, pine-hushed air somersaulted into the rolled-down window. The man told us to go on over, each and every one of us, and pick an orange out of the crate. As we made our selections, I heard the man confiding to Dad. "I might have had grandbabies like these, but my son fell at Omaha Beach." The man made it sound like a stumble, like we could easily help the soldier back up if we were quick about it, and if we knew some magic, such as the correct pronunciation of the word Lyons, Georgia. Above the orange crate, at adult height, an army cap was on display. The visor was bent like a bird's wing. Lyon, France, had come to Georgia, and a name of a city in Nebraska had layered itself bodies thick, boot prints and tank tracks upon the beaches of France. Dad, who never spoke of the war, was asking this stranger about his son and about battle units and key positions. When I heard the man say semaphorist, I almost raised my hand classroom high to say, "I know that. I know that from Girl Guides. I got a badge on my uniform for knowing all the letters, for forming them with my arms, like hands on a clock that told no time but sent secret messages." Then I heard the word strafed, and I just stared. I had no idea what that word would be in French. We climbed back into the car, hands and knees. Probably the Army Ranger had crumpled and fell when he was hit. Probably he did not have time enough to think of pine trees and the smell of oranges. His hands lost their grip on the little cloth flags he'd been positioning and repositioning, signaling to someone very far away who was staring through binoculars. We squinted at the childless man. He flattened a hand above his eyes and squinted back to see us among the watery rush of reflected trees and clouds. Under our fingernails was the pulp of a very new idea, winter fruit. And there was a digging sense of home as being more complicated than we had known. And there was the curved hope that whatever home was, it would include this never again place with the olive green hat at full attention.
Patricia Salmon is a graduate of Queen's University in Canada and Cornell University in New York. For 20 years, she taught creative writing as an artist in residence in the public school system. She has won several awards through the years and has been a columnist for the Hometown Press. If you'd like to hear Patricia's story again, you can find it in the Sundial Archives on our website, WLRH.org. Just click on Sundial under the Shows and Podcast tab. If you like to listen on our mobile app, again, just click on the Sundial icon and you'll find all the past episodes there. We here at WLRH thank you for supporting the station and features like Sundial. It's been a great year. We look forward to another in 2025.